Lesser Evils, written by Joe Flanagan and read by William Dufries.
1. July 1957. In green shallows, the ocean's lesser creatures showed themselves. Bland minnows appeared at the edge of clearings in the seagrass, their fish eyes wide with astonishment at having survived another tide. Hermit crabs, like long-suffering old refugees, hauled their burdens across the bottom, and ragged jellyfish drifted like souls passing through limbo. On the beach, there was a scattering of people in motionless torpor, fully under the spell of the July sun. Reclining mothers in Ray-Bans watched the sluggish movements of their children. Elderly couples peered out from beneath the brims of their hats, as though deep in the heart of an old, old dream, where even longing and regret had been dulled by the sweltering haze. The little colony made a spray of color on the beach with their swimsuits, umbrellas, and coolers. Sometimes a faint breeze came in off the water and touched their cheeks, ruffling the pages of their paperbacks and magazines. It carried a rumor of the wild, breathless Atlantic, fish and death and oblivion, and caused people to glance for a moment out to the horizon. Between long stretches of wooded desolation were crude clam shacks and lonely houses collapsing in weedy yards, turned into summer souvenir shops without much enthusiasm. Liquor stores appeared, new motor courts and seafood restaurants. They crowded the road, now a small highway, in a welter of neon and plastic. The theme was maritime kitsch, talking fish, cartoon sea captains, grinning crustaceans, draped fishnets decorated with buoys and painted shells. Within a mile, the commercial activity faded. Reeds appeared, a glimpse of ocean, the smell of decay, and then another strip in another town, East Ham, Brewster, Orleans, Chatham. In Hyannis, the road formed a wide boulevard of low storefronts. Down a side street, there was a block of weathered buildings, dead and empty remnants of the maritime trade, their windows smeared, their gutters sprouting grass. Beside this, a bus station and a small cemetery surrounded by a picket fence. From his open window in the police station, Lieutenant Warren watched the stillness. The ticket clerk at the bus station was visible as a phantom behind the glass, a frozen specter that moved only occasionally to turn the page of his book. There was a knock on the door, and he turned to see Sergeant Garrity push his head in. Garrity looked at the floor and paused before speaking, which meant that the sergeant was delighted to be the bearer of bad news and was savoring it for a moment before passing it along.
Someone to see you, Lieutenant.
Warren got up and went into the hallway. On the bench across from the sergeant's desk was Jane Myrna, his son's summer school teacher, and his son, who went by the name of Little Mike. The young woman looked up.
Mr. Warren, she said, we had an accident.
Little Mike suddenly became absorbed in a book he had in his lap. It was a primary reader for toddlers with textures you could touch. He was small for his age. His legs stuck out straight from the bench seat, and Warren saw that he had a towel wrapped around his gray flannels. Garrity was a looming presence to the left, rustling papers and closing drawers. Warren motioned for them to follow him into his office. Little Mike trailed his teacher, gathering up the book and the loose ends of the towel, trying to keep it wrapped around his waist. In Warren's office, there were no mementos, photographs, or anything to suggest a personal history. He had posted only bulletins, shift rosters, and a calendar from Cameron's boatyard, where he sometimes got extra work as a carpenter.